Hello and welcome to a new episode of Game Notes, your Utah Jazz podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Dave DeFore, joined by my man Tony Jones, who's back in my old neck of the woods out in Washington, D.C. What's up, Tony?
What's up, man? How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I honestly, I'm a little bit
I didn't know this was your neck of the woods.
Well, I'm from Richmond, so I'm okay. Right down the road. So D.C., you know, mid-Atlantic, you know. Baltimore to Richmond is all basically one place, kind of. And yeah. So, you know, all my people are up in D.C., and I love D.C. Did you get a chance to walk around the city at all?
I mean, you know, I mean, my mom and her entire side of the family are from here. So, I mean, I know the city.
Yeah, okay. But, I mean, on this trip, did you get a chance to walk? It's a beautiful city. It's a beautiful time of year to be there.
A little bit. You know, I went down to, I hung out with my brother a little bit, and I went to Georgetown. That was the big news on this trip. So
that's where the Jazz were practicing.
Part. Yep. And they had shoot around there. So I got to take a photo with the legendary John Thompson statue. Just got to, you know, kind of walk around the campus. Just a absolutely beautiful campus, man.
I need Georgetown to come back to national prominence in college basketball. I think that life was just better when they were good. Don't you think?
Well, that part is true. And, they got a big win against Syracuse on Saturday. So go Hoyas. And, there are a couple of people, who, as a result of that win, who now owe me dinner.
oh, God, not another dinner bet.
Not going to go. Hey, I won this time.
Tony, so. I love that your retirement plan is cashing in on dinner bets. Listen, you're going to have 40 years of dinner bets that you've probably lost that people are just going to be like, I can't remember.
if I'm homeless, I know where to go and get something to eat at this
point. That's right. All right. Well, speaking of homeless, I don't know. This is a bad segue, but the Jazz have been on a 4-game road trip, and guess what? They won all 4 games, Tony. This team is a bit different, I think, or at least in a different place than they were when we were worried about them a few weeks ago. You know, they had started out the season so well. They scuffled for a couple of weeks. And now they've righted the ship. All of a sudden, they're on a 7-game winning streak, including the 4 games on the road. And, Tony, I asked you a couple weeks ago if they'd kind of figured it out and turned it around. And, frankly, I think that, yes, they have. Do you agree?
Well, I mean, remember before the road trip, we were like, wow, this is a tough trip. You know, they've got Cleveland, and Cleveland's playing well. They've got Minnesota, and you know, they got swept by Minnesota last year. They got Philly on the back to back, so that's going to be tough. And Washington's playing well, so you know, we were like, okay, if the Jazz go 3-1, that's a great trip for them. If they go 2-2, that's a pretty, you know, that's a pretty good trip for them. But they could go 1-3, and you know, this would be, and nobody would be surprised. Well, the one thing that we didn't say is neither one of us were like, well, yeah, they're going to sweep the trip, because we were like, yeah, they're going to drop one of these games. You know, it's you know, between the quality of the teams and the logistics of the trip in terms of going through one of those 3-4 nights, you know, they're going to drop one of those games. And they were phenomenal. I mean, not only did they sweep the trip, you know, they only have one close game, the 109-108 game against Cleveland to start the trip. Cleveland, who's like playing almost as well as anybody in the league right now. But then, you know, they blow out Minnesota. They beat Minnesota by 32. They blow out Philly. And then they blow out the Wizards. They blow out the Wizards in the fourth quarter. And you know, they look really, really good. Like, you know, we were a couple weeks ago, we were like, hey, you know, Golden State and Phoenix are playing on a level of their own right now, and the Jazz have gotten really close to matching that level that Golden State and Phoenix have been playing at.
I think that they're right there, right? I think that they're just a notch below those teams. And the truth is, when you look at the standings, they're only 2.5 games back from the Suns for the one seed, only 2 games behind the Warriors. So their record is right there too. That's clearly the top three in the West. I don't think that there's any doubt from anyone there that those are the three best teams in the West. It's just, do you put Utah in the same category as Phoenix and Golden State? And I'm okay with saying the jury's still out because, you know, while this has been an impressive road trip, I need to see more of sort of the high-level play that Phoenix and Golden State tend to hit. Like the game against Minnesota, where they absolutely just crush them. Those are great games to see. I think those are fantastic wins. They need a few more of those. Because Minnesota, by the way, not a bad team. They're kind of a middle-of-the-road team that's scrappy. And I think if you can dominate teams like that, that really does show me that you've turned a corner as far as the season goes and things are on the right track. So let's talk a little bit about both sides of the ball because they're doing well on both sides. Their offense has been spectacular. And the pressure that they're putting on teams, it looks like last season when they made the commitment to launching more early shot clock threes, getting those good looks instead of favoring the great ones. And you can see it's taking teams out of their game plan, Tony.
You know, it's a couple of things. To try to backtrack on what you said, just having a mentality. Rudy Gobert said as much last night, you know, and he said, you know, I think this week we kind of developed or we showed at least a contender's mentality, which I thought was interesting. And I thought, you know, was accurate. Like, you know, the Jazz could have easily, you know, rolled over and let Saturday night against Washington be a schedule loss. Instead, you know, they just went out and took care of business and wrecked the Wizards team that had been playing really well. You know, the Jazz could have, you know, lost to Minnesota. Instead, they wrecked them by 32. They could have had a schedule loss in Philly. Instead, they went out and really destroyed them as well. So, you know, it was kind of like, hey, you know, a contending mentality is, you know, you play at the same level no matter what the circumstance. And, you know, or you play at a certain level no matter what the circumstance. Sometimes you play a little higher than that level, but if you always play at the baseline of that level, it puts the onus on the other team to play above that level. And I think the Jazz did that in this road trip. You know, the one thing that I will say, you know, with the Jazz offense, and, you know, we know the numbers, you know, essentially right now they're the top offense in the league. And, you know, truthfully, they're on a pace to be one of the best offenses ever. That's how good this offense has been over the last month. But it psychologically, you know, the Jazz just put a lot of team pressure on teams to really, really, really be good. And, you know, I think the onus that the Jazz put on teams is you got to score for 48 minutes against this Jazz team. You can't have any lulls in your lineup. You can't go, you know, 5 or 6 minutes without making shots, because if you do that, then you're going to be, you know, in all likelihood, you're going to be down by double digits. You know, you got to, you know, they make shots. They don't have any lulls throughout their lineups. They don't put bad lineups on the floor, especially when they're healthy. You know, their 9-man rotation is probably as good a 9-man rotation as there is in the league. And, you know, and truthfully, I mean, we still got to see how it works out in the playoffs, but in the regular season, man, it's you know, they have a chance to be a juggernaut. So we'll see. You know, I think this upcoming homestand is going to be big because, you know, you don't want to go on the road and sweep a road trip and then waste it at home. And honestly, I think the Jazz have probably been a better road team this year than they have been a home team.
Which is strange, right? Because the last home stand, we actually thought it was an opportunity for them to establish themselves as one of the top three teams. They did it on the road, right? And that's great. I got some numbers for you, Tony, because it's kind of nuts. The last 2 weeks, and these stats are from Cleaning the Glass, which is fantastic statistics website if you don't subscribe. The last 2 weeks, their offensive rating, this is points per 100 possessions, 128.1, Tony. That is absurd. That is absolutely absurd. Their point differential is plus 17.1. Now, that's second in the last 2 weeks behind Memphis, who was plus 17.6. But Memphis,
but they beat somebody by 75 points.
Exactly. I was going to say, but Memphis had that stat padding game where they won a game by 75 points. This has been regular dominant basketball for this stretch, this seven-game winning streak. And in particular, the last 2 weeks, I mean, when you look at the numbers, they have just dominated in every single way that you can. Now, their defense has been, you know, about league average, but their offense has been so high that you almost have to ignore a little bit of the defensive numbers because it's going to be noisy. There's going to be a lot of garbage time, and scores are going to get a little bit closer. In the competitive portion of these games, man, this is the sort of performance that we expected them to come out of the gate. Now, everyone's going to start thinking about the playoffs already. I still think it's too early for that. I want to talk about their defense specifically, Tony, because you and I both know that Rudy Gobert, his job is not just to block shots. He's also a deterrent, and he's a mistake eraser. And you can see the difference in this defense with a healthy set of guards and wings. And I just mean healthy. These are the same guys that they've had, Rudy Gay notwithstanding. These are the same guys. But the defense looks totally different when Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell can actually move around, don't you think?
Well, Mike Conley's always been a good defender.
But it's the movement. It's being healthy. Yeah.
Right. And you know, obviously, you know, those guys are healthy. But the difference is, for me, Donovan Mitchell's actually playing defense this year. And he hadn't in years past, or, you know, he hadn't actually been active. He's been, you know, so, you know, he hasn't been a stopper, but he's been good, right? Like he's stayed in front of guys. He's been opportunistic. He's generating turnovers. He's getting deflections. He's getting into passing lanes. You know, Donovan Mitchell has played on a real all NBA level this year. You know, so if this persists, if he keeps playing on the same level, I expect him to make all NBA for the first time in his career and to do it rather easily. You know, so, you know, just those two, you know, Mitchell and Conley playing well on the perimeter, I think that's helped. I think Rudy Gay has helped a ton, you know, just with the length that he has on the floor. What is rebounding? He really helps rebounding. I think that Royce O'Neal's been good, really good defensively, as he always is. I'll give you an example. I think in Philly, he completely took Tobias Harris out of the game, and you know that really hurt the Sixers. You know, so there have been guys, you know, and you know, they have had a little bit more help, in my opinion, than they've had last year. I'm talking about Rudy Gobert and you know, Hassan Whiteside. Obviously, Hassan Whiteside hasn't been here in the past. And I think Gobert's, you know, far and away the best defensive player in the league. I mean, you know, people are going to say that they don't think that he is, but I mean, he you know, truthfully, he's the best defensive player in the league. And I don't think it's close. Because he's a defensive system in and of himself. You know, and
that's
he's
the argument.
Playing.
Yeah. That's the big argument. And I think that it gets lost. It's, you may have guys like Draymond Green is a more versatile defender. Certainly. Right. You can defend in different ways with Draymond Green than you can with Rudy Gobert. I don't think anybody's arguing that ever. But the truth of the matter is you can take Rudy Gobert and put him on any team with any roster, and it is a top five regular season defense no matter what. And you can't do that necessarily with a guy like Draymond. It's a different thing, and it doesn't denigrate either guy. It's just they're different players. And so, you know, when the conversation gets to be about Gobert, I think a lot of it winds up being, you know, we're told things are one way and they're not necessarily – that's not necessarily true. And the novice only sees the finish of a play, right? And they don't understand all of the workings that go into everything leading up to the finish of that play. And so, you know, you get this – the rub from the series like they had against the Clippers, where the Clippers are this one team that's able to exploit the Jazz defense in this one particular way, and all of a sudden there's the conversations about Rudy like they have after the Minnesota Timberwolves game, which, Tony, this made no sense to me. For a team to lose by that much and to say, oh, well, we're not scared of Rudy Gobert, seems like they played like it, didn't it?
That was a little ridiculous, wouldn't you think?
Listen, I think that this is just that team deciding, you know what? We got a good shot to see the Jazz in the playoffs. Let's go ahead and start playing some mind games. That's what I'm thinking.
But do they have a good shot of seeing the Jazz in the playoffs?
I mean, maybe.
The way they've been playing the last
If they make the play-in, it's okay. You know, Jazz are in play for the one or two seed, I think, still.
Yes.
Right? That's not wrapped up.
Yeah.
So I could see Minnesota sneaking in there.
Okay.
And there's a little bit of a rivalry here anyway, which is funny because Minnesota's been so bad, but they've had Utah's number. So I do think that there's a little bit of game.
The irony of the whole thing, you know, and let's ignore, you know, let's ignore Anthony Edwards' comments because that was just ridiculous.
But he's trolling 20. For sure.
He's trolling, but he's 20. Pat Beverly saying, oh, you know, if I'm doing this and, if I'm the defense player of the year, I'm covering this. First of all, there are a couple of things that made me laugh here. Number one, you know, he's playing with Karl Anthony Towns, who's one of the, you know, and I love Karl Anthony Towns, but he's one of the worst defending bigs that I've ever seen in my life.
Been better this year, though.
Yeah.
He has been better this year, right?
I don't know. I saw the Jazz in the Timberwolves, and I thought he was awful. But I digress. That's number one. Number two, you shouldn't be talking shit if you're one of the worst players on the floor, and Pat Beverly's not a great basketball player. So, you know, that's like, you know, you're playing, you're in the 10, and like the eighth best player on the floor starts talking and starts yapping. And that's essentially what Pat Beverly is. But that's what he's been doing his entire career. But, you know, I mean, those comments that came out, they shouldn't come out from anybody, but they certainly shouldn't come out from him. You know, so I just thought that those comments were I just thought they were funny on, you know, just a number of levels. And, you know, and obviously they were inaccurate. I mean, they were definitely inaccurate. But, you know, people are going to say what they say. And, you know, at this point, you know, it just seems like people around the league are just taking shots at Gobert for fun, you know, which I think is interesting as well. So, It certainly made for an interesting week, and as a writer who was on a long trip, it certainly made for stuff to write about. So I was definitely grateful for that part.
I mean, look, it's fun. I like that kind of stuff. I don't necessarily between players, right? Like, I don't necessarily want to hear it from, you know, from analysts talking about Rudy Gobert, because you should know better. But players, hey man, that's all. Fine and good for me, right? Like, you should be talking smack. I like that, especially because of the history with these two teams. It's the weirdest thing that Utah just struggles with the Timberwolves. But, you know, they smacked them the other night. All right, Tony, so the Jazz going back home, got a nice long homestand culminating with a Christmas Day game, which, you know, I know you're pumped to be home for Christmas. But let's look at the next few games. They've got the Clippers, Spurs. They got the Wizards again on Saturday. And again, no easy games in the NBA, I think, this season, period. Like, the Spurs were struggling, kind of looked like they were tanking at first, and now they've come on strong. They've been tough, bringing a lot of energy. And that's the first game of a back-to-back. Now, luckily it's a home back-to-back for Utah, but you got the Spurs and Wizards back-to-back and the Clippers on Wednesday. And we know, I mean, that's going to be an ESPN game because everyone wants to see what the Clippers are going to do to the Jazz this time. I don't know, man. I think Utah is rolling. I think Utah might be able to carry this win streak to Christmas.
You know you jinxed them, right?
I know I did. I do it every time. Every time. Oh, man, look at this easy schedule. They should go 4-0. 0-4. What's wrong with the Jazz?
Oh, man. I think the Clippers game is going to be tough.
Of course. I mean, the Clippers are tough, right? Like, they even without Kawhi, man, like, they're just – they play solid basketball. They're so well coached. And Paul George is the number one.
Paul George is playing at an extremely high level. You know, and they, you know, with between Zubac and Serge Ibaka, they had the bigs to really occupy Gobert and Whiteside. You know, the difference is, are we gonna see, you know, I thought Reggie Jackson made such a difference in that series because if Reggie Jackson didn't, you know, go human scion in that series, I think the Jazz still have a real chance to win that series. You know, so, I mean, he's been back to, you know, a lot closer to, you know, the actual Reggie Jackson in the regular season. So we'll see what Reggie Jackson shows up on Wednesday. But yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, that I think that's going to be a really good game. I think it's going to be a really close game. I think it's going to be a game that the Jazz are really awake for. You know, so that should be interesting. You know, I can't wait to see Minnesota for the Jazz to see Minnesota again. That's going to be really interesting. You know, games between Quinn Snyder and Greg Popovich are always interesting because Greg Popovich really knows how to attack Quinn Snyder. And you know, that's a style game, right? Like, you know, San Antonio loves to get into the mid range and the Jazz, you know, they drop big defense. What they surrender, you know, most of the time is mid-range jump shots. So I've seen San Antonio beat the Jazz in games, you know, just shooting exclusively mid-range. So that's going to be interesting as well. So, you know, it looks like a schedule that the Jazz should take advantage of, but I don't think that that's a nearly going to be a guarantee. But if they do play well and they do, you know, just kind of go through the schedule, they have a chance to put a really nice winning streak together.
Yeah. Well, we will be back next week at some point where we'll check in on that. And Tony, I'm still debating. I might come to your house for Christmas. I might just get a Santa suit and just roll up to your door Christmas Day. What do you think?
Pop up, baby. Come through.
Only thing is, man, it's cold. Cold in Utah. I think I should go somewhere warm if I'm going somewhere for Christmas. Tony, let's go on vacation. Let's forget the Christmas Day game. Let's go somewhere like San Diego. Let's go somewhere nice.
Yeah,
for Christmas.
I can't do that, Dave. I gotta cover Christmas Day.
All right. Well, everybody.
I'm not missing Luca. Okay.
Oh well, that's worth seeing. Everybody go and follow Tony on the Athletic app. And if you haven't already subscribed, go to theathletic.com/gamenotes and do it now. Give someone the gift of the Athletic for Christmas. This podcast ad free, all of the great journalism and reporting that Tony does over at the Athletic, never with any ads. Theathletic.com/gamenotes. Go and sign up. Let them know Tony sent you. For Tony Jones, I'm Dave DeFore. This has been Game Notes, and we'll talk to you guys later on in the week.